Desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word. It humbles me that the Lord is so gracious to meet with us. I'm humbled by that. We're going to look at the Hebrew chapter 11. And the title in my book, which is my Bible, which is a Chain Thompson, it calls this chapter the roll call of the heroes of faith. And I want to start, before we look into any of the verses there, what this word heroes means. We use it occasionally. We may consider somebody our hero. And we know that there have been heroes in our nation from military. Maybe they have gotten special medals. But to be a hero of faith is real different from being a hero of a literal battle army. So this word heroes, just to put it in our minds this morning, someone distinguished for exceptional courage and fortitude, especially in time of war and danger. And we are in a war today, spiritually. There's warfare that is going on all around us. It's unseen, but yet it's very real. And you and I experience battles every day, possibly. Maybe several times throughout the week, we go through situations that we call battles. And we call upon the Lord and we say, "Lord, help me in this battle." That's what we call it. We have a song that says, "I've enlisted in the army till I die." So I am a soldier. I think we've preached a message not long ago right here concerning having the mind of a soldier. So we're still thinking, except we're going to a different level. We're a hero now. And it does go farther in even the definitions. It says one held in esteem for superior deeds of any kind. So that's also a hero. But I thought as I was thinking, the Lord had been speaking to me about some of these thoughts for 2 or 3 weeks. And I found that it came full circle with some other words. Fame, renown, reputation. You know what this reputation, what it means? We think we know these words, but we need to be just focused on what the word really means. And it says it's a state of being in high regard or esteem. It's a state of it. Or public opinion due to what has been reported or seen or heard or possibly witnessed. So, do we have a reputation? What does the word say about reputation? It speaks about Christ over in Philippians, the 2nd chapter in verses 7 and 8. It says, "He made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Well, that's where that word opens up something to our mind, that Jesus, even though it said that he made himself of no reputation, he had a reputation. He didn't purpose to make himself of a reputation to cause men to follow him for the reason of his reputation. But he does have a reputation to those that really love him. Yes. and those that follow him, we know what he has a reputation. So I'm thinking in terms of Christ, it says for you and me to mark the perfect man, to behold the upright. So even as we begin to look into this chapter of heroes of faith, we have to say there was something behind every life. It wasn't that they just got their name printed in the Bible. Their name was printed in the Bible for a reason. And it wasn't because they were good. It wasn't because where they came from. It wasn't because of what their name is. Sometimes we might think, well, we have a name. And maybe somebody said this one time. And referring to a family name, that it represents something. We may look across our little group here this morning and say, well, the Doolittles, they have a reputation. They have a name. But that doesn't give any reason for us to lift them to a place and say, follow me. Paul only said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. So you can have a certain family name and not follow Christ, and it mean nothing. But if you are following Christ, no matter what the name, no matter what the what your name represents, then we can follow that. Yes. We can look at it as an example. And that's what God's calling for, is for us to be an example. So he made himself, he humbled himself. He was just a servant. Thank the Lord. So let's turn now over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And most of this is so familiar to us that we're not going to really examine it verse by verse. But maybe a few names we will emphasize. The list begins with Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Well, we might look at those three names and say, well, what degree were they, was their reputation? How were they a hero? Well, probably we would most be familiar with Noah. And what the scripture says here in this passage is that by faith, Noah did something. Noah believed when God gave him a warning of what was to come that had never been seen before. And yet he believed it. It says also that he became an heir of righteousness by faith. Now I think that that's an important point, because you and I are called to be heirs of righteousness. And if these that are listed throughout the Bible, and these are just a few compared to all that is in the Old Testament, all of the Bible characters that you and I have studied from a child, read about, they were heroes to us. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Joseph, we could name them over and over, and yet we're all called to be heirs of righteousness in the earth. And he was counted as an heir to righteousness because he believed in something that was never seen before. That's called faith. He had faith in what God told him to do, and he carried it out. So he earned, if you want to say it that way, he had evidence that his name could be counted in this chapter. We go on, we find Abraham's name, we find Moses' name. Let's look at Moses now just for a little bit. Moses. Several verses were written about Moses in this chapter. And it said that he made some choices. He made choices that cost him something. He chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have had position. He could have possibly been heir to the throne there in Egypt. He could have been a Pharaoh. He could have had what? Whatever happens when you have that high position. Royalty is a special thing. I don't know if you're ever read about the royal family in England. There's a little bit of a fascination there. But there's a place of honor, prestige. And he could have had all of that, but he chose. So he made some choices. You and I are going to have to make some choices. If we hope to be an heir to this righteousness, we're going to have to make some choices every day. We're in a battle. We're in a soldier. We're having the mind of a soldier. And our opposer is, his purpose is to take you and me down, to destroy us, to kill us. He has a purpose of wanting to take you and me to a devil's hell. Do you feel that? Do you feel the opposing powers of darkness some days that is trying to cloud your mind and disturb your peace and take your victory and hinder your faith? That's what's happening. That's the age we're living in. We're not out here, like we said in the former message, we're not out here facing a firing squad or the guillotine. We're not out there doing that. But you and I could lose our spiritual life if we don't make the right choices. So he made choices. Do you know it says here that he esteemed the reproach of Christ? And Christ wasn't even in his day. But somehow it was that righteousness there. And he esteemed the reproach of making that choice for the righteousness. He esteemed it. It was worthwhile. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. And you know what else it says? He had respect to the reward. It says that he forsook Egypt. So he refused fame, fortune. He refused a reputation. So in chapter 11 now, we're going to probably leave the rest of that for you to be studying in your own devotions. Many, many Bible characters we can study and learn from. But we want to start at verse 30. And it says, by faith, Jericho walls fell down. So it doesn't name the character there, but we know who it was. We know it was Joshua. So Joshua became an heir of righteousness. He believed God. He had faith that what had never happened before, it would happen. The weapons of their warfare were not carnal, but they were mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and it's a weapon for us today. We're still in that same spiritual warfare with the unseen, with weapons that are not carnal, but mighty. Through God. So by faith, these walls came down. The next name that we have is Rahab, a non-Jew, a non-Israelite. not one of the chosen. She was on the outside. But she was in this Jericho when the spies were sent in. And she believed. And she did something that caused her name to be listed among these heroes of faith. She what did she ask for? She said, she told the spies, "We have heard about your God. And we have heard the terror. And it caused the people's hearts to melt. We are afraid of your God because we know what he can do. And so I'm asking for something. I will protect you. If you will give me your word to save my family." Now I want you to note something. Only her name is put in this list. But she asked for her mother and her father and her brothers and her sisters. And they gave her their word. And they spared that family. And she became a hero of faith. Now, was it not through her lineage that Christ came? She had faith. She became an heir of righteousness. Oh, don't you want your name among the list? We can do it if we believe. Now let's look on. In verse 32, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak and Samson, and of Jephthah and David and Samuel and all of the prophets." You know what sort of came to my mind was this. There is a scripture that speaks about Christ, and if all of the his life, if everything had been recorded, it says that the world could not contain all of the books. I believe that. I believe that we only know a very small fraction of what Christ did here in the earth. The reality is we don't know what happened between age 12 and 30. Could have been many healings, miracles, but it's not recorded for you and me. But what if it had been? I believe the writer had a vision of the greatness and that the world couldn't even hold all of the books. I like that. Well, I'd like to compare that then to all of the people that chose to follow Christ or follow God in the Old Testament when there wasn't really the grace to live free from sin. Christ had not come, but they were looking forward to it. So there's just a few names here. And I think that if we had all of the names of all of the people that followed righteousness and became heirs of righteousness, I don't think the world could contain all of the books. Do you? I think it's very similar to that of the works of Christ. So let's go on a little farther. And in verse 33, "Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Many stories could be told, reaccounted. Faith would be increased in all of us if we did if we knew all that happened, but we have enough. There is enough. He gave us this. It's enough. We must allow our faith to be inspired by what He has given us. We must allow our faith to be inspired by each other's testimonies. Yes. We must look about us and say, maybe not verbally, but maybe mentally say, that's my hero. I'm watching their lives. I'm watching their walk. I'm observing their faith. That's what He wants. Each other. We have this song that's in our book. We need each other, brethren. We need each other. I don't care. I need you. You need me, whether you know it or not. We need each other. Because we need to see what God is doing for each of us in our lives. And we may not be doing these great things. We may not be shutting the lion's mouths. We may not be have all of this activity in our walk with the Lord. But I tell you one thing. I want this part that says, waxed valiant in fight. I want to be counted a strong warrior for the truth and for righteousness. Let's look at verse 35 now, because we're going to be talking about unknown, unnamed, unidentified people, and the number is beyond what we can comprehend. It says women. How many women? We don't know. I would like to think it's thousands of women that experienced the righteousness of God at that time. I don't think that's unreasonable to think that. Women received their dead raised to life again. We have some recorded. Christ raised some from the dead. One mother, her son was dead. She was a widow woman, and he was probably her only hope for support. She was going to bury him with a group of people that were wailing with her. And Jesus stopped. And he reached and he healed and raised him up from the dead. That should be enough for us. We don't have to know about the thousands if there were. We know there were more than one. It didn't say woman, it's women. So women did this. And then it said others. Now how many is others? Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That they, how many is they? We're going to talk about them, they, others. Numbers that we have no idea, we don't know their names. It wasn't recorded. But they might retain a better resurrection. That's all part of this inheritance of righteousness. Having our eyes set upon that other resurrection. Not being delivered in this life. Does that speak to us? It should speak to us. Because we're still in this life. And then it says, verse 36, and others. How many others? What were their names? The books could not contain all of their names. Had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. This is talking about people that had faith in God and held their faith to the end. And then it says, they. How many are they? They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And then verse 38 says, the world was not worthy of all of these saints of God. I put that in there because that's what they were. They were saints of God that believed and was not willing to compromise, was not willing to, at the cost of their lives. Oh, I want to tell you, you and I have not met, we've not shed our blood yet. But let us be strengthened, that we will have courage, that we will be a hero of our day. That we will be one of the strong. That we'll have a reputation. I know their reputation. You know, I can look right here. I'm pointing my finger. There are some that are called prayer warriors. Yes. We lean on them. We call them. We give them our burdens, and sometimes we share our burdens, and oh, I want to tell you, in reality, our burdens are minor. They could be minor. Because we haven't faced all of that they faced. But I believe God can help us to be heirs of righteousness in the earth today. And we may not have our name in some big book. I don't think any of us will ever be recorded somewhere as being so full of faith. But we are just walking one day at a time. One day at a time. We're coming down to the end of time and our lives at some point. And I want it to be said, as it said was said of Paul, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I am now ready to be offered.
Unsung
heroes. That's a good term. Unidentified. We're walking among the earth. Today, you're going to leave here. You're going to go and walk among people. On your job, in your school, wherever you are you one of the faithful ones? Oh, Lord, help us to be the faithful ones. Because the world is not worthy of the faithful ones, but we're still here. And then it says, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all... How many is that? All that were heirs of righteousness. These all having obtained a good report. Now I'm going to stop right there because I want to refer to another scripture that is in this passage, in this chapter. And I'm looking at the characters we have even mentioned, which is not even a fraction. But I'm saying to myself, what was the common thread? What was the common thread among all of these? All of these having obtained a good report. What was the common thread? I believe we could go to verse 26 and find the common thread. Speaking of Moses, in the last part of that verse, he said, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You've got to keep your eye on the reward. These had that common thread. They remembered there was a reward. So what would that mean? If he had a respect to the reward, I believe that he looked away from his present circumstances. You can't judge the end of your life by the circumstances of today. Tomorrow, we do not have tomorrow. When we get to tomorrow, it will be today. And today, Whatever your circumstances are today, look away from them. Keep your eye on the goal. I believe that he kept the reward. Moses kept the reward ever present in his mind. And that's what you and I need to do also. We have a song. If you could hand me a book, I really meant to bring it up here. If you want to turn and read it with me, it's a song 213, Ever Keep Heaven in View. That's a song that we need to remember. And it's speaking about us as pilgrims. And this chapter spoke about all of these characters. They were pilgrims and strangers. And that they were looking for another country. And it says, Pilgrim of Jesus, or life's troubled sea, courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. I want to tell you, and you already know, that we're going to face our trials and tests and troubles and sorrows and griefs and disappointments. You're going to face I've spoken to you numerous times. God's going to have a tried and a tested people. We're not going to get to heaven on flowery beds of ease. You've heard it all of your life. I've heard it all my life. And I testify to it. It's not going to be on flowery beds of ease. And the writer of this song, Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? How needless thy sorrow. He's bidding thee now. Ever keep heaven in view. We've got to keep the goal in our vision. We have to, if we make it. Pilgrim of Jesus, oh, lift up thy head, ask, and thy strength he'll renew. Do you ever need your strength renewed? We need it renewed every day, spiritually and physically and mentally and emotionally. The whole man, we need to be renewed in strength. And while in the footsteps of Jesus you tread, ever keep heaven in view. When you feel weak, when you feel like that you might not make it. One evening, I was not necessarily intending to do it this way. It just happened, but I was praying, but writing down my prayer. I've never done that before. It was like I started out trying to tell the Lord by writing it down. And I said, Lord, you know how this almost took me down. And I referred to different times down through my life. It all came back to me. Different times, the events that came into my life almost took me down, but it didn't. I surmounted it. Not in my own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Pilgrim of Jesus, that Eden above, this is where we've got to keep our mind. Long has been waiting for you, and soon thou shalt reach thy fair mansions of love. Ever keep heaven in view. I believe that that's got to be the common thread, is to keep our reward in view. And then another common denominator. This is the verses now I'm going to connect out of that same chapter, verses 13 and then back to 39 and 40 to finish that chapter. These, who are these? All of these that followed the Lord. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That's faith. They didn't literally see them. They didn't experience the result of the promises, but they believed them, and it was counted unto them for righteousness. They were heirs of righteousness, and they were persuaded of them. Are you persuaded? I'm telling you, the enemy will try to persuade you another way. He will try to persuade you to not believe the promises. And then it says they embrace them. What does it mean to embrace something? Oh, they took it to their bosom. They kissed it, if you will. They loved it. They put it into their lives. They allowed it to work a work. Praise God. You and I will have to make the choices yes. that were made by these same heroes of faith. Yes. And we will have to choose to embrace it. We will have to choose to be persuaded. And then we skip down to 38 and 39. We're closing now. And these all, having obtained a good report, I want to tell you, the enemy would like for us to think we are nothing in the earth. You're the least of all of the people. And the scripture even may say that. It does. It says that many are called, few are chosen. There's few in the earth that really are heirs of righteousness because of their choices, because of what they have rejected. But there is a great army. There are unseen people all over the world. You and I don't know them, but God knows them. And the word says that this is the seal of the Lord. He knoweth everyone that belongeth to him. I don't have to know them. And I will never know all of their names. You won't either. But I want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, don't you? And it says, that's the ones he'll come back for. And it says here, they received a good report through faith, receiving not the promise, God having prepared or provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'm telling you, you've got to keep your eye on the goal. You've got to keep your eye on the goal. And in closing, I want to read, if you could bear with me just a little bit, a scripture comes to my mind that has been on my mind in Psalm 66 and verses 10 through 12, because this also will describe how we're going to have to walk and what will happen to us. Verse 10, for thou, God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us. Verse 11, thou brought us into a net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. What are you going to do when affliction comes upon you? Going to turn and run and give up? And then it says, verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. Do you ever feel like you've been through the fire? The trials can be pretty hard sometimes. But listen to this. He brought us out into a wealthy place. And all of those heroes of faith, there's a scripture that also says, we have seen the end of Job. You want to study Job? Be sure you know the end of him. Did he come out into a wealthy place, a wealthier place than what he was when he went in? And that's what God wants to do for you and me. He wants heroes today. He wants those that will have a reputation. That one has faith. So in closing, we have to leave this short little song with you. It's not in our book, but it's familiar to us, maybe in the blue book, I'm not sure. heaven will surely be worth it all. Often I'm hindered on my way, burdens so heavy I almost fall. That can be real. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache may here befall. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling and pain I will endure. There's your choice. Till I shall hear the death angel call, Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. Amen.